Good to talk to you. Yes, you're right. The automotive radar and LiDAR, as well as the 5G communications. These seem like different things, but they all have very similar processing requirements close to the sensors and antennas. And what you find there is a lot of complex number processing needed as they turn the signals from the time domain to the frequency domain in order to extract the data.
So, Neil, in terms of automotive radar, LiDAR, and 5G, what kind of trends are you seeing lately?
What we're seeing in radar, I mean, today it's very good at detecting objects in bad weather and at a long distance, but it's not very good at resolving things that are close together at a distance. So that needs some higher resolution. When we look at LiDAR, LiDAR is very good at distinguishing these things at a distance, has high resolution, but it needs to be much smaller and cheaper for deployment across more cars today. The sensors are quite big today and expensive. So those sensors are needing to go solid state typically there. And when we're looking at going from 4G to 5G, there's a lot more bandwidth to handle, lower latencies, and way more connections.
So, Neil, what do you think are some processor improvements that are needed for these trends to come to fruition?
Fundamentally, more performance is needed, almost orders of magnitude in some cases. So we're seeing high accuracy required. 16-bit fixed-point data types are typically used today, but often only a few bits more are needed for some parts of those algorithms, so some high accuracy needed there. More floating point is also needed, specifically for linear algebra, which is used in radar for calculating the angle of arrival or direction of the returning signals. And when we look at the lower bit rate 4 and 5G communications devices, such as for IoT and V2X, being able to do the processing needed in software is desirable for flexibility and cost. And then finally, for LiDAR, as that processing gets squeezed down into these smaller devices, the energy efficiency needs to increase dramatically. And that's to avoid any of the heat dissipation and power consumption issues that may occur.
So, Neil, you guys have a Tensilica DSP that's designed to meet these needs, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we just announced the Tensilica Connex B20 DSP, and that's addressing all of these needs. To address the raw speed, we have built it on a deeper pipeline that gives us about a 1.4 times the clock speed compared to the previous generation, and we're getting about 1.4 gigahertz or above on a 60-nanometer process. When we look at the high accuracy requirements, we've added an option for native 32-bit vector max support, and this also doubles the number of 16-bit max available too. For floating point, we've made some significant improvements. We still have the single precision option that was given on the previous generation. That has 16 fused multiply adds, or FMAs, per cycle. But we've added an option to extend that to double it to 32-bit FMAs per cycle, and also added half precision support for the first time, and that gives us 64 FMAs per cycle. To make it possible for the low bitrate communications to process their data, we have a communications option that accelerates forward error correction decoding. This includes Viterbi and Turbo for 4G systems and Polar Code and LDPC for 5G. And energy efficiency is always a priority for us here. With the options of 32-bit comms and its extended floating point, the cycle counts can be reduced significantly. And this gives us high performance and a small power increase, giving you much better efficiency. With these changes, when we compare to the popular Connex BE32 DSP that we have today, we're seeing up to a 30 times higher performance improvement in parts of the communications processing chain, and up to a 10x higher performance in parts of the radar processing chain. This B20 is at the highest end of this Connex DSP family. And we're also adding the B10 DSP at the same time as the B20, and that has half the vector width for applications that don't need quite so much parallelism. This 5 DSP family is software compatible, and we make it very easy for our customers to evaluate each one for their application, so they can find the right combination of power, performance, and area, and know that they have compatible choices for future upgrades.
Okay, Neil, well, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I heard that you recently broke your leg, and you have a rather entertaining story about that, so tell me more.
That's true. I do have a broken leg at the moment, 4 weeks into that now. It wasn't funny at the time, but yes, and of course it's my right leg, so I can't even drive, so that's the most annoying thing of everything. So I'm an avid mountain biker, and I do what many would consider dangerous things all the time in the mountains here around Silicon Valley. The reality is I'm not really that extreme, and I'm just constantly amazed by what other people are doing. But it's been raining for a fair amount of time here over months now. And when it's raining, you can't really go out onto most of the trails because it tends to destroy them. So feeling the need to do something on my bike, I went to a local school car park at the weekend between showers to practice my skills on the curbs and other concrete features that they have. Well, clearly I need way more skills, because this is where my back wheel unexpectedly slid on a damp painted surface and I was thrown to the ground, twisted under the bike and fractured my fibula near the ankle. So kind of painful, but it was making me realize that no matter how good a driver you are, this kind of ever-increasing driver assistance technology is really for the times I feel safe and least expect to run into trouble, whether that's in the car or my bike. But for me, I'm going to stick to the mountains in future. Those car parks are just way too dangerous.
That does sound too dangerous, Neil. Well, thank you for sharing that story with me. I, too, know about breaking bones in very silly ways, but we'll share that at a later time. Well, Neil, it was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
It was a pleasure, too. Thank you so much.
No EDA escapade would be complete without a trip to ES Design West. Executive Director of the Electronic System Design Alliance, Bob Smith, is also joining our design automation journey this week. Bob and I are discussing the details of this brand new system design event and why the Design Automation Conference will be co-located with SemiCon West in 2020. Let's go. Thank you so much for joining me yet again, Bob.
You're welcome. Great to see you again.
Okay, so first off, you guys just launched a brand new event called ES Design West. Now, why was this event created and what were the objectives behind starting up a new event like this?
Great question. First of all, let me start with the objectives. So the objectives we had in mind was to really highlight the commercial success of all the innovations that go on in design automation and IP and so forth. DAC, as you know, is a premier technical conference for these technologies, and we felt that although it goes very deep on the technology, it would be good to have just an event where companies could really highlight their commercial success. So maybe, if you will, a little bit more of an event where you can be a little bit more in the selling mode and so forth. Why did we do it? Well, there's a long story there, and I can't go into all of it here, but we did end our sponsorship with DAC back in 2018 after that show. A lot of different reasons, but I think part of our group felt like maybe it was losing some of its relevance and so forth. Not the technical conference, but the exhibition and so forth. And it was a very tough decision to make, but it was one that we felt like, hey, it was time to try something new.
Now, speaking of the Design Automation Conference, you guys have decided to co-locate SemiCon West in 2020 with DAC. So tell me more about that.
Right. So leading up through everything I just described, we many times said we had the preference of having DAC come co-locate, be part of SemiCon West, have your own location, have your own branding, your own presence. Don't change anything. Just come join us. Now, part of the reason for that is in August of last year, ESD Alliance became a part of SEMI. So SEMI is, you know, we're a strategic association partner. We have our membership, we have our board still, and so forth. And the board was very keen on doing this because they said we're all part of a bigger ecosystem. We should all be together. And we started discussions in earnest kind of at the end of February. And just last week, after a lot of discussions, came to an agreement where DAC will be co-located at SemiCon West. SemiCon West attracts, I think, about 15,000 to 20,000 people. It's a big show. It occupies the whole Moscone Center. And DAC will have their own location. In fact, I'm guessing they will, it looks like they'll be in Moscone West. And they've been there before, so that's a good venue. The other thing that's going to be very cool is that we agreed on is we'll have reciprocal exhibit rights. So if you have a SemiCon West pass, you can go to DAC and see the exhibits, vice versa, you can go to SemiCon West. And there's a lot of verticals now at SemiCon West, automotive, med tech, IoT, wearables, that we think a lot of the DAC folks are going to be really interested in. And we know that a lot of SEMI members have been begging for more design content, so it's perfect.
All right, so let's circle back to Design West. Now, what would you consider to be the highlight of this new event? And give me the date, location, all the good information.
Okay, so the date, first of all, it's Moscone South Hall, and we are at one end of the hall. We have our own area with our own signage. The dates are July 9th through 11th. We have a theater, So we have our own theater called the Meet the Experts Theater, and we have a lot of people giving talks about either their technology or their products or design successes. The other thing that's really cool, I think, is the Jim Hogan Hot Party is being held at ES Design West this year. Jim decided to give it a whirl, and I think it was a little difficult to contemplate bringing it out to Vegas, so we're doing it at ES Design West. And what's really neat is it's benefiting the SEMI Foundation. They are affiliated with SEMI, but they are a true charitable nonprofit. And they do a lot of work in getting STEM education, young people into technology, and so forth. So all the money will go into that program.
Now let's talk about the ESD Alliance. Now, Simon Segars from ARM was recently elected chair. So what are his responsibilities and what do you see his role being?
Simon has to keep me in line. So this will be, I think, my third chair since I got involved with the group. It's really, I use them more much as a sounding board or for advice, especially like with issues like when we were negotiating with DAC about the co-location. You know, being able to kind of think about how are we going to approach the rest of our board members and so forth. So really for me, sounding board advice, Simon is a great guy. I'd say he's a very pragmatic individual. He will take in a lot of input. He thinks things through. And he comes up with great ideas. So I was really happy to have him take on that role.
All right, Bob. Now, I know summer is coming up. Do you have any big, fun plans for the summertime?
Well, several. So I'm very busy. I do. I own a winery, and I have a tasting room in the mountains, so I will spend a fair amount of time up there. But we're actually, my wife's brother is having one of those milestone birthdays, so we've gotten a bunch of his friends together. We're going on an Alaska cruise, and I have always wanted to do that, and nice. So we're going, I think, at the end of July. So that should be fun.
I have always wanted to do that as well, but I am not a boat person. So sadly, probably won't ever do it. Awesome. Well, this was a pleasure speaking with you yet again, Bob. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Always fun to see you at DAC.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EE Journal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EE Journal TFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, it is AmeliaD1978. And if LinkedIn is your thing as well, follow us there too. And we have a YouTube channel, everyone. The keyword, EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of super cool techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, I especially love pinball, basketball, and anything Star Wars. So keep that in mind. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 12th, 2019, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.